Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today,
Pastor Chuck continues with the First Communion as we pick up in Mark chapter 14, verse 25.
And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Jesus is giving to them a totally new understanding now of their Passover ceremony. As he breaks the bread, he said, "This is my body broken for you." As he takes the cup, he said, "This is a new covenant. It's my blood which is shed for the remission of sins." And then he told them, "This do in remembrance of me." You don't remember anymore the lamb in Egypt that was slain and the blood placed in the basin and sprinkled upon the lintels and the doorpost of the house. You don't remember that lamb that was eaten in order that you might have strength for your flight. But now you remember me. "This do in remembrance of me, my body, my blood." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Now, traditionally, the hymn that is sung at the end of the Passover feast is Psalm 118. Significantly, it is a prophetic psalm of the Messiah. Here Jesus was singing about himself. "The stone which the builders have set at naught, the same has become the head cornerstone. This is the work of the Lord. It's marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And Jesus singing with his disciples and then leaving the upper room and going out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said unto them, "All of you will be offended because of me tonight. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." That was the prophecy of Zechariah. Jesus is making reference to that prophecy. But Peter thought he knew better than the prophecy. And Peter argues with the Word of God. Let this be a lesson to you. Never argue with the Word of God. For you can be sure that any time you find yourself arguing with the Word of God, you're wrong. No two ways about it. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away." Now, Peter is arguing with the Lord, arguing with his word. "All of you are going to be offended tonight because of me, because the scripture says, smite the shepherd and the sheep are going to be scattered. But after I am risen," Jesus said, "I will go before you to Galilee." And Peter said unto him, "Although all shall be offended, yet will not I." The big I. Always a dangerous position to be in. Bragging on yourself. Putting yourself up above others. "Though all of these guys here, Lord, might blow it, never me. I won't. Yes, they might be offended, but not me, Lord. Not I." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto you that this day, even in this night," you see, the day had already begun at sundown. "Even in this night, before morning, before the cock crows, twice, you will deny me three times." Now, Peter spoke more vehemently. "If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise." And likewise also said they all. They all chimed in. "That's right." Again, Peter arguing with the word of the Lord. Now, I believe that Peter was absolutely sincere. I believe that Peter loved the Lord completely. I have not one question or qualm in regards to Peter's love for Jesus Christ. I do not believe that Peter's failure was a failure of faith or a failure of love. I believe that his failure was just that failure of the weakness of our flesh, that thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought, that boasting in ourselves, or what we so often are guilty of, making these rash vows and promises to the Lord that he knows better anyhow. How many times when you're on your knees saying, oh, Lord, please do this for me, and I promise, Lord, I'll pray an hour every day, you know, and you, I believe, are very sincere when you say that, but the Lord just sort of shakes his head, oh, come on. He knows you. He knows, you know, and thus the vows, the promises that we make unto God are, number one, needless. I don't have to promise God anything to get something from him. If God is going to give me anything, he's going to give it to me on the basis of his grace, never on the basis of my merit. And yet I'm so often trying to give God reason to give me something. And usually the reason isn't what I am, but what I'm going to be. This is what I'm going to do for you, God. You know, what I've done is pretty miserable, and I've failed pretty, but I'm going to do, you know. And so on the basis of what I'm promising God I'm going to do, I try and then get God to bestow upon me in sort of a reward kind of a situation. But God doesn't give to me on the basis of my merit, on the basis of my deserving, on the basis of my goodness, upon the basis of my effort, and surely not upon the basis of my false promises. But God gives to me strictly on the basis of his grace. So I don't have to make any crazy promises to God in order to receive from him. I don't have to promise him I'm going to be better. All I have to do is just believe that he loves me and wants to do for me because I'm his child. And the blessings of God are bestowed upon those children who will just trust the Father to bless them because they know he loves them. So, Peter is making all of these boasts. And it's interesting. Somehow, when we speak more vehemently, we think that it sounds more true. You know, when you have to start yelling, you usually have weak points. I heard of a minister who used to outline his sermons, but then also he had all of his gestures outlined on the side. And so he said, you know, at this point, move your fist forward with a thrust for emphasis, you know. And on this point, bow your head and shake it sadly, you know. And he had the whole thing all worked out so that all of the gestures and everything were all worked out through the whole sermon. And down a ways in the notes on one of the points, it said, at this point, yell like everything. It's a weak point. So the weak points, you've got to really yell to get them across. Peter began to speak more vehemently, Lord, you know, if I would die with you, I would not deny you in any wise. Now they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. The word Gethsemane means the olive press. And the Mount of Olives, as you might guess, was an olive orchard. You hear of the Garden of Gethsemane, but it wasn't a garden as we think of gardens. It was just an orchard, an olive orchard. And the Gethsemane is the olive press. Now, they, of course, in the olive orchards would have these olive press where they press the olives to get the oil, to extract the oil out of the olives. And so they came to the place on the Mount of Olives, which was called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I shall pray. And he took with him Peter and James and John, and he began to be sore amazed and very heavy. And he said unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry here and watch. Evidently, Jesus beginning now to feel some of the emotions as he was contemplating the events that were going to be taking place the next day. Perhaps he began to sob, began to breathe heavily, very heavy. He wasn't really his normal self. Disciples probably never had seen him like this before. And he confessed to them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Stay here and watch with me. And he went forward just a little ways and fell on the ground. And he prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father. Abba is just another word for Father. All things are possible unto thee. Take this cup from me. Colon. The colon signifies just a space of time. Jesus is requesting to be freed from the commitment to the cross. Because all things are possible with the Father. He said, if it's possible, let this hour pass from me, Father. Now all things are possible with you. Take away this cup from me. This is heavy, heavy stuff. Sometimes we are prone to take the cross for granted. Because Jesus, when facing it, said, To this hour was I born. For this hour I have come. We think, well, he was, you know, he had it all in hand. It wasn't just a slight thing to Jesus. It was heavy, very heavy to him. Because we see him the next day bravely facing the whole thing, we are prone to sometimes forget the real battle was waged here in Gethsemane. The reason why he was so strong and brave the next day, he already had gained the victory. As always is the case, we gain the victory through prayer. Here was the real victory wrought for you and for me. Here in the garden was the real battle. Once the victory was accomplished in the garden, the rest was academic. The real battles are wrought in the prayer closets, not on the battlefields. Jesus said, you don't go in and spoil a strong man's house until you first of all bind the strong man of the house, and then you go in and take the spoil. And through prayer, we bind the strong man of the house, and then our service is just going in and taking spoils. You can do more than pray after you've prayed, but you really can't do any more for God than pray until you have prayed. You can't really do any real work or service for God apart from prayer. And here Jesus, praying to the Father. Now in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, as it speaks of his taking upon himself our sins, it declares in verse 10, the middle portion, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. And he shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. In Hebrews, we are told, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. I believe that at this moment of agony there in the garden, as Jesus is saying, Father, all things are possible for you. Take away this cup. I believe that the Father at that point gave to him a vision of that glorious day in heaven when the redeemed of the earth are gathered around the throne of God. And as he takes the scroll out of the right hand of him who is sitting upon the throne, And the elders are offering their golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And the saints break out in that glorious song, "Worthy is the Lamb to take the scroll and loose the seals, for he was slain and has redeemed us by his blood out of every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign with him on the earth." I think as he saw that glorious moment in heaven and saw the redemption complete in your life, in my life, he then continued his prayer. "Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." And there he won the victory. How? By surrendering. Surrendering to the will of God. As long as you are fighting the will of God for your life, you're destined for defeat. It's a paradox, I know. But the way to victory is by surrendering, by giving up. When you give up your will to God, in that moment you triumph, you conquer. You've come to the path of victory. And he came to that point of surrendering himself to the will of the Father. "Father, all things are possible for you. Take away this cup from me." Many times we pray that. "Father, we know that all things are possible with you. Touch now and heal now, Lord. We know that all things are possible with you. Lord, now we want you to do this." But oh, how wise it is to complete the prayer and say, "Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." Surrender it. Surrender that situation. Surrender it to God tonight. And if you will just surrender it over to the Lord, you will experience real victory in your life. And so he came back and he found the disciples sleeping, and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." And again, he went away and he prayed and he spoke the same words. Some people say, "Well, you should never repeat a prayer twice." Well, I guess Jesus didn't know that. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And of course, they were speechless. They didn't know what to answer. And so he came to them the third time and he said unto them, "Sleep on now and take your rest." Now notice there's a colon again, passage of time. He came back the third time. They're asleep again. And he said, "Oh, go ahead, guys. Just go ahead and sleep on. Take your rest." And he sat down, I believe, and just watched them. "You can't watch with me, so I will watch over you." How long a time intervened in this colon, I don't know, but maybe an hour or more. Maybe 2 or 3 hours, as Jesus sat there and watched the sleeping disciples. But as he sat there watching them, I am certain that he was praying for them. As he went around the circle and saw them, "Oh, Peter, man, you're so gung-ho. I love it, Peter. But you've got so much to learn. You've got the potential there. Great potential that God can use, Peter. Oh, Father, strengthen Peter so that when he is really converted, he'll be able to strengthen his brothers. Don't let his faith fail, Father. Hold him, Father, strong. John, oh, bless you. I love you. What a loving spirit you have." And I think that Jesus just sat there watching them as they slept, and his heart just reaching out to them and interceding for them as he watched them. "Go ahead, sleep on, take your rest." And then, how long a time might have elapsed, I don't know, but No doubt Jesus heard the commotion coming down the hillside along the wall of the city from the house of Caiaphas. The noise of the soldiers and all as they were excitedly talking and Judas speaking with them and heard them coming and approaching the garden. And so Jesus then said to his disciples, "It's enough. You've slept long enough, fellows. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let's go, for he that betrays me is here." And immediately, while he was yet speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, "Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely." And as soon as he was come, he went straightway to Jesus and said, "Master, Master," and kissed him.
More of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Mark on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Mark 14 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
Now may the Lord be with you and bless you. May he give you a good week. May you just experience more and more the grace and the fullness of our Lord. As you yield your lives to him, may you discover God's blessed plan that he has in mind for you. And may you not come short in any spiritual gift. May you abound in all things in Christ Jesus. As we wait for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Lord be with you, and the Lord bless you.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Come study the Bible with Pastor Chuck Smith as he teaches from Genesis through Revelation on a digitally remastered audio edition of Pastor Chuck's Bible commentary. That's over 600 audio MP3 files of Pastor Chuck teaching through the entire Bible, all on a 16 gig reusable flash drive. Now you can easily listen to Pastor Chuck's Bible commentaries when you insert this key into your computer. Then you can transfer all of these audio Bible studies to a smartphone or any other listening device to learn and study God's Word on the go. And not only that, you can reuse this flash drive that easily fits onto any keyring for even more mobility at a fraction of the cost. What a great way to study and learn God's Word. For more information, please call The Word for Today at 1-800-272-9673 or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.